It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Where does the time go? We're already closing into May. Today is April 28th, if you're listening on Saturday, or April 29th. And we have a really great show planned for today, and it kind of segues from last week's show. So I want to give a big shout out to last week's guest, Craig Peterson, who has his own radio shows on various stations, but is really a renowned expert on cybersecurity and breaches. And the thing about the show was it was both at the level of what corporations need to know, and I know in our own boardroom at Northeast Delta Dental, we spend the first 15 to 20 minutes of every board meeting talking about cybersecurity issues, but also as an individual citizens of New Hampshire, what can you do if you lose your cell phone? What can you do, you know, with your home computer if you think it got hacked and things like that? So Craig did an awesome job, and that's Craig Peterson. For my running friends, big shout out. Thank you for the great turnout on Friday, April 20th. The NHGI Northeast Delta Dental 6 p.m. race. Usually getting people out after work on a Friday can be difficult, but we had a great turnout, and this is part of the Capital Area Race Series. It's the third race in the series. The first race was at the end of March in Gilmington, then we had the SCA 5K, and then the NHGI NED 5K, which raises money for the Jen Kemp Scholarship. So feeding along the lines of Craig Peterson, we were able to line up Melissa Jerkois, and I'm getting that really pronunciation. I'm getting it, Melissa. I'm getting it. Great last name because it's kind of like turquoise. And the topic for today is what is tech women, tech girls? And there was a big event recently that some of my colleagues at Northeast Delta Dental attended. But before Melissa, before we get into that and the whole topic of what is tech women, tech girls, why don't you tell us about your fabulous background? I mean, you got your BS in computer science from University of New Hampshire, and while it wasn't that long ago, I'm just curious how many women were in the class at that point versus what you see now. So tell us about your tremendous background.
Yeah. Thank you very much for having me here today. So, there wasn't many women. In fact, I can think of several classes I had over my collegiate career where there was not more than one more woman in the classroom than I, and no female professors. So hopefully that's on the uprise to change. I know that I've talked to some of my colleagues in the College of Engineering and Physical Science over at UNH that I still keep in touch with, and they are changing that. They are definitely changing the dynamics. So that's exciting news. So everyone's very aware of it.
Does it make sense to have you back, like as a guest lecturer, to say how successful you've been and getting the?
I'd be happy to, yeah.
So okay, so we'll put in a good word with the new president, Jimmy Dean. Get you on the program. So one of my great colleagues at Northeast Delta Dental is Vadna, and she is in our IT department. Does a great job, and we actually have several women in our IS department, and just the overall evolution of IS, information systems or information technology. When I started at Northeast Delta Dental, and I'm not exaggerating here, so I started in 1995, and we literally had 1.5 people in the IS department because we were using a service bureau then. So we had one full-time man, and then we had a part-time woman, and that was the IT department. We now have like over 60 people. The place is crawling with IT people. We have two buildings, 1 and 2 Delta. I'm really good at names, but I have to stop and memorize because they're always coming and going. And when I say that, I mean we have great retention because we have such a great culture, and we have a subsidiary provisor that's really a technology company. So the place is crawling with technologists, both women and men. But since you've been in the field for a couple decades, like what is you've seen the evolution on technology, and then specifically you can get into getting women involved, because mm-hmm. obviously that's with my chair of the State Board of hat on when I was chair of the State Board of Ed, we spent a lot of time on STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, sure. and trying to get more young women involved. So tell us about all that stuff.
Yeah. So my current position, I'm a solution architect over at Amadeus Hospitality. So Amadeus purchased us like 4 years ago. We were New Market back then, so we're based in Portsmouth. I've been there for 18 and a half years, so quite a bit. Before that, I did a lot of consulting work in technology, both while I was still in college and then beyond. I will tell you that I wish I could tell you a different story about the dynamic and the demographic, but it hasn't changed very much.
Really?
That's the unfortunate side effect.
It takes some time.
Yeah, it's still a real problem. And I think we need to start with education first. And that's why some of what we're doing here with what we're about to talk about is so important, to start to change the ratios. But I would say, you know, technology has changed so dramatically from when I started. So I started at Amadeus specifically in 1999, so not long after what the time frame you were talking about. And we've grown tremendously, and the technology has just, honestly, I feel like it's just become so much easier, right? So it's exciting. It's an exciting time in technology. The rate of change is very fast. And I think it should actually open doors for both genders to be able to hop on the technology bandwagon.
It's interesting because Amadeus obviously is a hospitality company, right?
Hospitality software, yeah.
Software. So Northeast Delta Dental is obviously a dental insurance company, Oral Health. And but I kind of kid with my team now and my board, we're like a technology company that focuses on oral health because, you know, pretty much the adds to our staff are technologists and then human customer service, because one of the things in New Hampshire, of course, is we're also an aging population, so we certainly have all the millennials that want the best technology, and we do, but we also want, we have people in their 50s and 60s that still want to call up and get a human being. So I always say, like, the people we hire tend to be technologists or people that, you know, can work with the phone. So when you started in 1997, I mean, how many people in the company and how many people now, roughly?
So when I started, we were a company of probably around 150 to 200, so relatively small. And now, since the acquisition specifically, we're a global company, and we're upwards of like 12,000 Amadeus as a global company has. So Amadeus Hospitality as the division is probably more around 1,000 of that broader total.
But so are you doing more travel now, or do they kind of leave you alone?
I actually have been. In my newer role, I have been traveling quite a bit to our different offices and also our customers. So that's pretty exciting, too, to see that from a global perspective.
So if I was in an elevator with you and you said, I'm a senior solutions architect, can you give the elevator speech?
Absolutely. So my role is, I operate at the intersection of business and technology. So I help our customers not only identify and work through some challenges and risks associated with what they want their strategic business objectives to be and what those outcomes look like help them paint the picture of success. But then on top of that, I map it to technology to solve those problems. So it's really about problem identification and then matching that to the right solutions.
So you kind of take the user and customer requirements that they verbalize. Maybe they give you some specifications, and you kind of translate that into what the geeks need.
That's part of it, for sure. And then help them understand, like, what an appropriate roadmap and plan would be.
With all the emphasis, I know with the state board, and also I'm still chair of the Business and Education Coalition, and one of the initiatives that we push forward is STEM, and specifically getting, you know, more young women involved. I mean, I know statistically anyway, it seems, and maybe this is going to take a while, but it does seem, you know, with the younger grades, more and more young women are catching up in terms of some of the scores and testing. And it seems like more women are, at least at the younger grades, you know, interested in science, technology, engineering, and math. And as you know, there are certain techniques to get kids interested, both males and female, i.e., you know, make it sort of relevant, and you're not kind of learning it directly. It can be part of another project. And so it seemed like we were making some progress, but you're still saying the field, there's a dearth of women executives and women IT.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, especially in leadership too. And so I think I would say you're right on, like the way that education has changed and the tools and the even toys, right? There's STEM educational toys. So to your point, kids don't even realize that they're learning anything in those areas, but because they're just playing. So that's very exciting. I think the key is not as much of gaining the interest, because I think that we didn't have a problem with kids being interested, although society did sort of tell girls this maybe wasn't the right field for them to be playing in. It's keeping them.
Right.
So once
the sustainability.
We get their interest and we draw them in, and then what we see is somewhere around between middle school and high school, there's this critical age, and they drop off.
Yeah, that's what we saw at the State Board.
And then beyond that, and say they you know, we were able to get them through that phase. We also see it in college. So they get through high school, they're full on pursuing STEM, and they get into that degree program in college. And again, around end of freshman, middle of sophomore year, we see them dropping out of the sciences. So a part of that, I think, is directly related to the environment they're in and what we're doing to support them once we get them there.
So some of the High Tech Council Tech Women programs we'll talk about after break. Tell us about the April 4th conference. So I know you had a terrific keynote speaker, Jessica Gelman, who's the CEO of Kraft Analytics. So she was probably a role model for you. So I'm assuming that's by getting people jacked and pumped and going to that's one of the techniques you use.
Yes, absolutely. So that's a great event that we hold every year. So we just had that event. It sells out. It sells out every year. 200 women come from all different walks of life, both education and professional, and not all technical backgrounds. But it's really exciting to see everybody come together around that. And absolutely right that Jessica was an amazing speaker, very influential, very straightforward and to the point. And I think a lot of people appreciated that and saw what she brought to the table as a woman and how she was supported really by the Kraft family and that whole association to be able to speak her ideas and move forward and then become a leader in her field. So that was really exciting.
She was a great case study and a great role model. Not surprised to hear that from the Kraft groups. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Again, I want a big shout out to Craig Peterson, last week's guest, who did a great job on cybersecurity and the threats that we face. And it's just getting worse to stay ahead of the bad guys, so to speak, in technology. So Craig did a great job. And again, big shout out to my running friends for the great turnout on Friday the 20th at NHTI at Northeast Delta Dental Campus for the Jen Kemp 5K. But this weekend with me on April 28th and April 29th is Melissa Jerkois, who is going to be talking a little bit more about what the New Hampshire High Tech Council is, and then specifically how one of their sub or important initiatives is Tech Women, Tech Girls. But once again, Melissa, we may have some people turning in after going in the dump. So give us your background again, sure. and then get right into New Hampshire High Tech.
Sure. So I've been a technologist for about 2 decades, plus or minus right now. So I got my BS and CS right here in the state of New Hampshire at the University of New Hampshire.
All right.
I have worked about 18 and a half years at the same organization, which is known as now Amadeus Hospitality, based in Portsmouth, right on Pease. My career has started in engineering as software engineer, moved to product management, and most recently I'm in solution architecture.
Awesome. And it's awesome to see a great UNH grad doing so well in New Hampshire.
It's possible.
You're the role model for stay workplace, so that's pretty awesome. So tell us overall who the New Hampshire High Tech Council is. Matt Cookson would be proud if you explain it well, right?
Yeah.
Matt will be joining.
No pressure.
Cookson will be joining the Northeast Delta Dental Board shortly. So I know it's a member-driven organization. So tell us about that. And then specifically within that, the initiative of Tech Women, Tech Girls.
Yeah. So not wholly different than what you were just talking about with Stay, Work, Play, right? The High Tech Council, their whole organization, which is member-driven, as you mentioned, is to be able to cultivate and grow the community of business in New Hampshire. So focused around the tech sector, but also, having other arms to be able to support that. Most recently, they launched a great initiative for small business with a collaborative 401k plan for those businesses that didn't have that. So that's just one example of the things they're trying to put forth and do. They invest quite heavily in programming around things like Entrepreneur of the Year, Product of the Year. They do a really large event called Tech Out. So there's a lot of different initiatives coming out of the High Tech Council. They just launched a biomed cluster. I think there was a huge event that was upwards of almost 300 people in Manchester. So really, highlighting lots of different sectors and industry right here in the state to show what we've got going on here.
So it's a member-driven organization. So if a company or an individual wanted to join, they can.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's awesome. And one of the things that they wanted to focus on was the the concern that we have of getting more women involved with technology,
yes.
both in terms of STEM at the younger age, and then through high school and college, and then seeing it as a super career, if you know, a super professional career. So tell us about the Tech Women, Tech Girls initiative.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about this one, obviously. That's why I'm here. I'm really passionate
Great.
About
we're
this.
We're glad to have you.
So this started, it seems like yesterday to me, but this started back in 2015. They held an event, they being a member of a group of people that sat on the board at the High Tech Council, and some volunteers brought a bunch of interested parties together, people that were interested about what this cause is all about, what are we trying to do, what is the mission. And so that group got together in Bedford at the Manchester Country Club back in April of 2015. I happened to be one of those people. And we separated into sort of working groups around.
Was it as cold that April? Is it
no?
In this April? Okay, all right, good.
I distinctly remember. I think I was wearing a sleeveless dress.
All right, good. So there's hope.
So it was a great day where a lot of like-minded individuals got together and realized, maybe even in the spawn of that afternoon, that we were all passionate about a very strong problem we have, not just in New Hampshire, like nationwide, but we could make a difference. This group could actually do things to make a difference. And that's really where it spawned. And so many programs came out of that. And I'll be honest, some were successful, like greatly successful. And we'll talk about those. And then there were some that didn't pan out or transition to something outside of the Tech Women, Tech Girl initiative.
Right. And you're continuing, obviously, to brainstorm, you know, future programs.
Definitely.
So we already talked about the annual luncheon, but I know that one of the things, as you said, it was a sellout, and you had that great keynote speaker from the Kraft Group, but it also honors the Tech Educator of the Year and the Tech Student of the Year, and the Tech Woman of the Year, I think, was Edna Conroy, right?
She was.
So she's another example of a women executive leader that's done great.
Yes. And she was ridiculously inspirational. I have no other way to describe that. So she gave a very short and to the point acceptance speech of her award, and really focused on how awesome New Hampshire is. Like, in that she doesn't care what happens, she will never move out of the state of New Hampshire. So it was really inspirational on many levels.
And that's the word we have to get, because those of us that do end up staying here, we all know this, and we try to convey it. And
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
That's
so
great. And Edna, of course, does a lot of travel.
Yeah,
you know,
for her, she said, company. My home will always be here.
That's awesome.
So it was great.
So some of the other initiatives are Girls Technology Day. Tell us about that.
So Girls Technology Day is something that's been going on far beyond before we launched Tech Women, Tech Girls as an initiative as part of the council. But what we did here was we built more support for that initiative. So that's some initiative, Girls Technology Day, that event that happens once a year. It's usually in the March timeframe around different colleges throughout the state. I think last year they had 5 different locations, and what it does is it has certain speakers and workshops and a lot of volunteers to support these schools, because they bus in all of these kids. So,
wow.
And they bus in all these 8th and 9th grade girls to the schools, to the college campuses.
Wow,
and they
that
walk
must be
through.
Fun, huh?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I volunteered for it
wow.
a few times, and it's really exciting to see that many girls like at UNH. In the big auditorium.
Wow. And it's probably good overall for UNH recruiting. Too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. So, yeah. And they walked through a whole day of workshops. We did, we made batteries out of raspberry jam.
Wow.
We worked with some volunteers from the.
Nobody ate them, I hope.
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
No.
All right.
No, we lit light bulbs with them.
Oh, that's even better.
And then we actually had a workshop using Little Bits and built a motorized. Thing that they, I think it was a centipede or something, and they all raced it. And
wow.
that was with some volunteers from the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard. So there's a lot of community participation that goes into these things, but we partner with the Department of Education to help support that event. So that's Girls Technology Day.
That's awesome. So tell us about Tech Women Ambassador Week.
So that's another awesome event, which I actually sit on the committee and also have volunteered every year they've had that. And that's another cool event where we, instead of deploying the kids out like multiple schools to a college campus, we do it more regionally. So, and we'll be all the way up to Berlin, out to the seacoast in Portsmouth, out over in Manchester, Nashua area.
So you bring it to the
place. We bring it to them.
Okay.
Yeah. And those take different shapes. And we're, again, like to, in the opportunity to continuously improve, we're looking at how we make those more effective and better and grow them so that we reach more students. But we bring the kids, to where they are, you know, as close as we can, whether it's right at the school or some close location. And the one I participated in, we had a panel. We had a keynote speaker and a panel, and the girls were allowed to ask questions of us. And so, again, it's like the eighth grade, because that's where we see people falling off. So we want to try to be those role models to show them that your career can take many different shapes and forms in these industries.
It's great to see how data-based you are, because based on the stats, that's correct. That's the first drop-off point, like you said. And so to get them at eighth grade, that's what we found, too, with the New Hampshire Scholars Program. You've got to reach the, and there's now a STEM component on that, and you've got to reach the eighth graders to get the parents and the girls and boys interested in in STEM. So in 2017, you were at 9 locations with close to 700 girls, and I guess the governor proclaimed it Tech Women Ambassadors Week.
She did. So every year, she writes up a new proclamation for that particular week. It's usually about the third week in November. That is Tech Women Ambassadors Week in the state of New Hampshire. So it is official.
So I know in a couple weeks, the good timing of the show is great, because on Wednesday, May 9th, you have the Tech Women Power Breakfast Series. So tell us about that, because we might be able to attract some additional attendees.
Yeah. That's our most consistent event that happens. Like, you can catch us every single month. We've actually only canceled one the entire existence of Tech Women, Tech Girls, so over the last 3 years, and it was because of snow this year, because it was just way too dangerous.
Exactly. And it was a weird winter. Snow, rain, hot, cold, and then snow in March.
So, and this event, not dissimilar to some of the other things that we've talked about, it's really about bringing women together, and then giving them some role model or influential speaker that has a story to tell. And so we hold those the second Wednesday of every month. We are starting to do a few more on the Seacoast. So this year we'll do 4 on the Seacoast. And the rest of them are in Bedford at the Manchester Country Club. So consistent location and time. And they run 7:30 to 9 on a Wednesday morning. And they host speakers from various walks of life. We've had people that are in like biopharm science and they're, you know, deep down scientists. We've had women that are C-level executives that have risen the ranks in some STEM profession. We've had educators, we've had digital marketing people talking about like how do you sell yourself, how do you brand yourself. So it's anything from professional development to inspirational journeys and stories. And we invite students to come. We have great sponsorships. You mentioned Amadeus supporting us and supporting me. They have been great sponsoring certain events for us. And those sponsorships help us bring students in without having them have to charge, you know, them to be there at the breakfast.
Awesome. So tell us the rhythm again. So I know that people's, you know, work schedule can be different. So tell us the rhythm of when these are, you know.
Sure. So they're always the second Wednesday of every month. So we do them every month. We do not pause, except for that horrible snowstorm. And they're 7:30 to 9 a.m. in the morning.
And I'm assuming you end on time because people have to get to work. That's good. Is there a website that people can get that information?
Yeah, all of this is on the High Tech Council website. So New Hampshire HTC. org.
Perfect. So we've got about 45 seconds left. Give us 30 seconds. So if you're a mom and dad, the importance of getting your young child, girl or boy, actually interested in STEM, and then as a professional woman, some advice to other professional women who maybe want to change their career and get into technology.
Yeah. So for parents, I would say expose them to everything and don't dismiss anything. And then also show them there are role models out there that are doing these things.
Role model and relevance.
Yes, exactly. And then to professional women out there, network, 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 network. Like, I can't say it enough. The more people you meet, the more inspiration you're going to find where you didn't realize existed. And you may find a mentor just sort of accidentally. And those are the best relationships that you're not necessarily in search of.
You've hit it all. Mentorship. That's what I mentor a number of women and men, and it's so important, in and out of Delta. So thank you. Great advice.
Oh, thank you.